Well, good morning again. And Rich was commenting that it's been a long time since I've done worship and then turned around and preached as well. But I sure like it. I sure enjoy being able to do music with the family and the joy that comes from that. I enjoy music a lot. And so it's always fun to me. Anytime you get to sing a song is a good day. And anytime you get to preach God's word, it's a good day, right? Anytime you get to dig into it, personally for me, I think it's a good time. We are in Philippians 4 this morning. We've had family in our home most of the weekend, and so this is applicable to our family at times as it is to yours as well. We're going to be talking about tension this morning. Right? Anybody ever experienced tensions inside your families or inside your lives, right? We're going to be looking at that. The title I put this on is Keeping Peace Within Us, right? Because tensions are real. And how do you do that, right? We had, I don't know how many people inside our little two-bedroom home this weekend. And then we had some strangers show up last night in our backyard, roaming through the yard and various things back there. They're here with us this morning. But, you know, when you get that many people together, somebody's going to say something wrong. Somebody's going to take something wrong. You get little kids involved, you get these things, there's just going to build some tensions at time, right? And in a church body, if we think that this, we're going to come every time we get together without there being some tensions and some things where we're just a little bit at odd with, whether it's through interactions with each other through the week or ping pong, Mark causes me a lot of tension. I haven't brought ping pong up for a long time, so. But no, it happens, doesn't it? It happens regularly in our lives, and most of us have learned how to kind of function within that tension a little bit. But and within the body, it can be devastating. It can be very destructional. And is that a word? Is destructional a word? It's good enough for me. Anyway, tension, we all understand it. We've all experienced sometimes, again, within the churches, within our marriages. Anybody ever, if you're married here, ever have tension within your marriage? You're better than me if you haven't. And then within our families, right? The cause of tension sometimes is very hard to pinpoint, isn't it? Have you ever, especially within a marriage or within a family, have you ever woke up and just been at tension and have no idea what it was, right? Sometimes the tensions, believe it or not, are caused because I had a dream about something, right? And you wake up and you're just mad at your partner, right? Why? Well, I dreamt you did this. Whoa. Right? But tension just happens. It comes to us from a lot of things. And it can rear its ugly head at any point in time and almost over any issue. And so we're going to look at a little bit this morning how to deal with tensions. Again, it's, the phrase that came to mind is it's not a matter of if we have tension, but when we have tension, right? It's not a matter of if, but when, because it will arise and you'll have it. Again, this answer that we're looking at today is just another piece to understanding our key verse in Philippians 1:27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or in absence, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Right? And intention's a part of life. How do we do that? Right? And so Paul gives us some good examples today. As we do life together, we have to understand that God understands us as people. He understands that, I put you together here, right? Each one of you here this morning aren't here because, you woke up and just decided to come. Really, God said, you need to be there this morning, one way or the other, whatever ways he uses. You're here because of God's specific purpose in your life this morning. Whatever he might speak to you, maybe it was the music, maybe it was the encouragement of a prayer letter, maybe it was the conversation with somebody this morning, maybe it'll even be through the sermon this morning, that God wants to speak to you. But he's here, and you're here because he wants to speak to you this morning. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Again, this whole first, actually the first nine verses address the issue of tension. In verse seven is we're going to look at this morning, and that's when tensions arise, how do we get back to having peace within our relationships? How do we get past it? Right? And so if you haven't already turned there, turn to Philippians 4. And if you have your Bible, I expect you to turn there. There you go. Anybody ever wonder why the pastor gets up and says, turn to in your Bible? It's because if he's stupid enough to make mistakes up there, he wants to hear about it. It's because if you're not in your word, I can get up here and spout off things that maybe not be true. And you need to understand that. And you need to correct the speaker up here, no matter who it is, if it's me or whoever else is up here. And the only way you can do that is if you're studying your word and if you learn to open it. Plus, it creates good habits of opening your Bible and seeing what's in it. So blow the dust off if you haven't opened it all week and open it up to Philippians 4. First thing we see this morning in regards to tension was how much Paul cared and loved for the people. Okay? I hope when you come here in family, in your relationships, you know, my family, there's tensions. There's things that happen. We bring new people in, right? We're going to bring Marley into our home. Well, we brought Marley into our home already. She's part of the family. But with that comes new tensions, right? Because none of my in-laws were raised by me. So they were raised wrong. And so we have to correct them. And that creates tension, right? Just kidding. But the wonderful thing about it is we've come to understand after having a few of them, and maybe some of you guys have come to understand that too. God allows them to come into your family. They all love the Lord, but they come, they bring their ways of doing things. It creates tension, but it's always for growth. It makes our family grow. We have to learn how to deal with each other. And so there's a growth aspect of it. But how do you do that? Each of my in-laws, they're all different and all unique. And you grow to love them. You do. You just grow to love. Right? And that's what Paul is saying here. Tensions are there, but we start with a love, right? When you have tensions within your family, within your marriage, right? There's a love there that needs to override the tensions. And Paul addresses that in verse 1. He says, therefore, my beloved, right? Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord. Right? Isn't that a fun way to start a thing out? Yeah. Relating to us that, okay, you're my loved. You're my beloved, right? You're who I love. Paul's heart for the Lord shows in his love for people. And it should show in us, whether it's with family, whether it's in the church family, whether it's in the relationships we have. The love of God needs to shine out for us. Can we look at people and go, my beloved, right? I just love that. You know, my love for and long for brethren. Right? Some of you are going, I don't know, he's here this morning. I didn't really long for him, but he's here, right? But we should approach church from that standpoint. I get to go be with family. I get to love them. Oh, there's going to be tensions. There's going to be things that go, but these are my beloveds. And I long for them. I hope you come on a Sunday morning with a sense of, where else would I be? You're all gathered here. I want to be amongst you. I want to be with you, right? That's Paul's heart. He understood 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Isn't that a good thing to remember when we think about loving one another? Right? I'm a sinful man. I sin against my in-laws. I sin against my family at times. But God's love and the love that pours out, when we have love for one another, you can do things that wrong me, and I can still love you through that with the love of God. That's what he does. And if we're supposed to be an example of who he is to the world, then we should learn how to love one another as well. Regardless whether we've been hurt or not, we have a fervent love. And then he says to stand fast in the Lord. Seems kind of odd there. If you've read that, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord. Oh, where does love come from? It comes from the Lord. So stand fast in him, right? It's the same word used in our theme verse where it says stand fast in one spirit. And it has the idea of not being moved, to kind of remain stationary, persevere, right? Some synonyms would be to keep at it or persist. Right? Stand fast in the Lord. Persist in it. Stand in it. Why? Because tensions are coming, right? Tensions are going to happen. And so Paul is reminding them we must stick close to God. J. Vernon McGee wrote, the Christian faith will produce stability of life. Right? We want stability within the family of God. Right? We have to stand fast in the Lord. It's not something we do. My default mechanism in my flesh is not there. When I'm wronged in my family, my default mechanism is to correct them. Right? I said it in jest earlier with the in-laws, you know, they weren't raised in my home and I want to correct them. But my default mechanism is exactly that. You were raised wrong. I know that what's right. You're going to do it my way. And we all have that default mechanism a lot of times within us. And we have to be able to look past that and love one another. And the only way I know how to do that is to stand fast in the Lord. Right? Stand fast in his word. What does it say? Right? What does he, how does he command me to love one another? And so we need to stand fast. But again, life brings tensions between people. And that's where what we see in verses 2 and 3. So what do we do? What do we do at tensions? Right? I just get done. We have to love one another. We have to da-da-da-da. But love doesn't mean ignore. It doesn't mean to ignore the tension. Right? We have to recognize tension, and we have to deal with it. Right? You can't just go about life with this edge toward people all the time. You have to deal with it. You have to get past it. So what does he say to do? Look at verse 2. I implore Yodia and I implore Cynthia to be of the same mind in the Lord. Right? What's our first thing is Paul addresses these two ladies. For one reason or another, they're creating tension. Right? And I urge you also, he says in verse 3, true companion, help these young men who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book. So how do we deal with people that are causing tension? We don't ignore it. Because tension affects everyone. It affects everyone around. Have you ever walked into a room where there's been tension and just felt that something wasn't right? Right? How inviting that as a people of God on a Sunday morning for people outside to come into a building and sit amongst us and feel that heaviness of tension within the body of Christ. That can build, and that creates trouble for those that come here for a place to see God's love, to see it. And if we have tension with one another, oh my goodness, they're going to feel it. they will feel it. And so addressing the tension, Paul calls for his companion to help the ladies as fellow laborers for the gospel. It's incumbent upon leadership within a church a lot of times to address those tensions, right? That's the downside of leadership within a church. Sometimes you have to make those hard things and say, this can't happen. Example, being in our church in Red Cloud, we had a gal that was working with us with our kids. And her and one of the other people in our church were having tensions to the point that they would walk opposite of each other when they came in. They would go out of their way to avoid. And anyway, it got to a point where I had to address this issue, and it came down to a point where the lady wouldn't change her thought processes or mind with calm. And I said, well, you can't work with the youth. You can't work with our kids if you're going to come with that kind of tension. Because the youth we worked with came from that. That was the home life for them. That was tension was part of their worlds. They did not need to come on a Wednesday night to a youth thing and see that tension displayed. They needed to see the love of God and how we deal with tensions, right? Because tensions are part of it. But they should see how we as Christians deal with that. And we should be able to overcome. And they wouldn't. And she ended up leaving the church in the end because she didn't like addressing the tension. That happens, right? God has to work on individuals' hearts. But sometimes as leadership, you get to approach those hard things and say, this just can't be. This is not the way God wants us to be in body. And so addressing tension always should be done with love, with the idea of helping. Not all tension is caused by one being wrong and one being right. Generally, it's probably not that way. Generally, tension comes because we have two different ways of seeing things. Okay? We just see things through a different window a lot. And so, but I tell you, tension can escalate and it can create division within a church. And so you got to be able to stop that. We need to be reminded that we are to be about the gospel of Christ, right? That's our purpose in our lives. So whether it's in my family, whether it's in my church family, whether it's at school, whatever, it's all about the gospel of Christ and how am I representing that to the world around me. My family, I want them to see the Lord. I want them to live it out in their lives. I want people to see our family and go, that's a different type of family. They have to have arguments. They have to have dissension. Yeah, we do. But they can still go out and eat pizza together. How does that happen? Right? How does that happen? I know families that don't do that. That there's a lot of tension within it. It's about the gospel of Christ. Foremost, it's all about Him. And striving together for the faith of the gospel. Right? Understanding we're in this together. You are part of this body striving for the gospel of Christ. Or you should be. Okay? That's what we're here for. We might see it through a different window on how that's accomplished. But if we can keep in mind that we're striving for the same goal, tension can be diminished. And we can move fast. We all, at times, need help. And we all need help in order to refocus ourselves on this purpose. Okay? Sometimes we need a brother to come up beside and go, you're messing up. Right? We need to resolve this. We need to get this going. We all need that. So how do we do that? Paul gives us, because Paul is a really good good preacher. He doesn't just leave us going, so go deal with it now. He says, here's how you can do it. If you're in the context of what's going on, he says in verse 4 and 5, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Right? What's the first step in relieving tensions? Turning your thoughts to Christ. Turning your thoughts on who he is. Right? There's a choice to be made or a commandment to follow or ignore. Right? That's what this is all about. Now, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. There's a command. There's a choice to be made. Am I going to do that? In the midst of tension, how easy is it to rejoice? Right? Or maybe I rephrase it the other way. How easy is it to have tension when you're rejoicing in the Lord? Right? Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because it's awful hard to be mad at somebody or tension filled with somebody when you are rejoicing in the Lord. Awfully hard to do that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Favor and regret. One who does not experience the joy of the Lord really has no power at all. We don't understand. We just sang the song this morning. There is joy in the Lord, right? Do we believe that, right? Rejoice. It takes away tension. It relieves things. That's the first way. God created the church to be a powerful voice, powerful force in the world. And it's through rejoicing in who he is that the world sees that. People aren't really completely dumb, though we may look at them and go, yeah, they kind of are. They see a difference. They understand mankind. I don't know how many are here this morning, 40, 50 of you, whatever it is. They can see that and go, how do they get along? How is it that you and you and you and you and you get along, okay? Because we rejoice in who God is. And if you forget, rejoice again. Right? Keep at it. There's a sense of continuation in that. Again, it's hard to have tension when we're rejoicing. Why adjust our thoughts at times? Why not be allowed to be grumpy for a time? Right? Have you ever had that thought process? Just leave me alone. I want to be grumpy. I'm enjoying being grumpy right now, so don't mess with that. Right? We all get that way. It is the way it is. And he says, rejoice and let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. I don't want to. I want to be grumpy. They deserve for me to know that I'm kind of irritated with them. They caused this, not me. Right? Well, maybe. So what are you going to do to get out of that? Right? Let your gentleness be known. It's verse 5 again. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Right? And all means all, right? Your tensions... That has this idea that people are watching us. They pay attention. Let your tensions and disagreements be known to all men is not what it says at all, is it? Okay. Go ahead and let your tensions be well heard. Okay. When you're frustrated and irritated, go ahead and take that out to the world around you because you need to vent and you just need to tell the world how bad that person is. And how irritated they made me. That's not true. We all need points of venting. There's time for that, right? My spouse gets plenty of my venting at times, okay? And so does probably yours at times. But we should become less and less at that. And hopefully you have a good spouse that says, now, honey, right? Be gentle. Be kind. They're not that bad. They're part of the body. They love the Lord. Shouldn't that be good? As parents of married siblings, my wife and I have these conversations once in a while, and one of us has to remind each other that their spouses all love the Lord. Every once in a while, we have to go back and go, it doesn't matter how different they are. They love the Lord, and they desire to serve Him. That's good enough. Right? They do some weird things, as anybody that has children that are married understand. Your kids do some weird things after they get married, and because they listen to their spouses, right? It causes these things. But we need to be reminded. We need to draw back to the fact the gentleness of spirit and reminding ourselves that, but they're part of the family of God, and they're part of our family. Rejoice in that. Be gentle in your things. The Greek word for gentleness is, I'm going to mess this up, but I'm going to try. Epiakes. Epiakes. Blue Letter Bible will say it twice for me. Means mildness, a yieldingness, an unwillingness to contend. Okay? And I really like the last one, an unwillingness to contend. I have to get myself self-controlled enough to go, I'm not going down that road. I am making a choice not to contend with that, right? I'm going to disagree quietly. I'm going to take it to the Lord. I'm going to ask the Lord to change me. You know, my kids have heard this enough times in their lifetime that the only person you can change in life is yourself. I can't change somebody else, but I can change my approach to somebody else and how much I love them. And, we live with that motto, we can get through tensions. We can get through that. What do I need to do? How am I approaching this person that causes them to have tension with me? Why are they so contentious with me? What am I doing? How do I respond? Am I mouthing off too much? Right? Mark and I can relate to these things, right? Are we mouthy? Seth's coming along fine. We're still working on Scott. He's getting there. Ping pong's a wonderful teacher. But, you know, is it always appropriate? No. Maybe I told the story. The kids have maybe heard this in my classes before. I learned a great deal from my wife in the first month or two of marriage, maybe first year, maybe 36 years in. I'm still learning. But one thing she told me right off the bat, because my tongue runs kind of rampant at times. And she looked at me one day and she said, I am not your best friend. I am not one of your friends at all. I'm your wife. And you have no business talking to me like you do your friends. And I went, ooh, she doesn't like the way I talk to her because she's right. So my pet peeve in life is when I hear people, and I understand what people are saying, so please take this with a grain of sand. But I hate it when I read on internet posts, I married my best friend, because I think, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You married your wife or your husband, and they are on a level far above that, and you better treat them as such. You better understand that they're on a new height. My kids are on a different height than my friends and my best friends. But sometimes I need to learn how to treat my friends too. Sometimes they're not ready for my mouth. And I have to learn to control it. Recognize that we're representing the gospel first and foremost, and how's that working in everybody's life around me. And some people, they love it and they get into it. Other people, they don't understand the sarcasm. They just don't. And I have to recognize that. And I have to talk to them a little differently until they get used to me. And once they kind of get used to me, they're okay. Okay. David Guzik wrote, when we live with the awareness of Jesus' soon return, right? We need to remember the Lord is at hand, it says there at the end of that verse. When we live with the awareness of Jesus' soon return, it makes all the more easy to rejoice in the Lord and show gentleness to all men. Remember the Lord is coming back. We represent the gospel to the world around us. If we understand that he could come back tonight, How would it change our lives? How would we live? How would the tensions break down? How many of you would just love the Lord to come back when you're in the midst of a heavy disagreement or a heavy tension filled? Well, now's a good time for you to come back. Lord, I'm mad at my wife. This would be a great way to go to heaven. Right? If we live with the understanding that the Lord's time is at hand, he could come at any point in time and take his church away. It changes how we look at it. So what do we do? Verse 6 and 7. Here's the other thing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Paul's writing there, and I summed it up this way. Get over it. Right? If I was to sum it up, get over it, right? Take it to the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Tensions create anxiety. And he says to be anxious for nothing. So call time out on yourself. Time out. I'm not going to live with this tension. Paul says to take it to the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Make prayer and supplications. Right? To be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What's the difference? Prayer, a solemn application to God from a sense of want. Supplication is that continuous and earnest prayer. It doesn't just go away all the time, and you have to just continue. Here they come again. Lord, help me to deal with this. Help me to not allow them to keep building up in me. God, come. When we take tensions to the Lord, he replaces it with his peace. How many of you would much rather live in peace than with tensions? Right? Don't we like that a lot better? Right? It's a lot easier. Charles Spurgeon once wrote, "What is God's peace? The unruffled serenity of the infinitely happy God. The eternal composure of the absolutely well-contented God." How many of you want that in your lives? An understanding, God's okay. And I represent him. I need to be well-contented. I can have peace, not by my own flesh, but because I rejoice in the Lord. I have a gentleness of spirit. I take everything to him. It's not ignoring that tension exists, but it's knowing how to deal with it. It's knowing to take it to the Lord and let him work through me, because I can't do it in myself, and neither can you. But God, right? Two favorite words of the Bible, but God, right? God is able to break down those walls. He's able to do what we cannot do. The peace that comes from God. But it's ours when we have our focus centered on him. Most of the time, for me, tension arrives when I take my focus off of who God is and put it on the things of this world. Right? Or put it on myself and my flesh and me wanting to be content and happy in myself by the way I want it to come. Tension is there. It should create growth in us. It should help us to move forward in who we are with Christ. Right? It's not that we avoid it. It's there, but we learn from it. We rejoice in all things. I say rejoice. We have a gentle heart. Right? We work against anxiety. When that anxiousness comes because of the tension, we have to take it to the Lord. Right? Prayer and supplication. Isaiah 26:3 says this, about God, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Oh, to have that stayedness of mind. We need that, guys. We need to have that. That's how we can keep tensions out of this place. How we can keep tension out of this place is to center myself on God and who he is. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you. in a strange way, we thank you for tensions. We thank you for the work that comes to us through your using tensions in our lives. So we ask that you would just help us to remember these words, to rejoice in you, to have a gentle spirit, to not let anxiety over it build up in us, but rather take it to you in prayer and supplication. So we give you praise for that. Thank you that we can do that. In your Son's name, amen.